Blog Talk Radio.
It's kind of crazy when you think about the world. We all, we all, we all, we all, we all got the same 24 hours, and I spend every minute loving you. Even at night when I sleep for hours, I just close my eyes and be dreaming about you. Every day when the sun is shining on us, every second just feels like a dream come true. We all got the same 24 hours, and I choose to spend my time just loving you long. Everybody say 24 hours, yeah. And I spend every minute loving you. Even at night when I sleep for hours, I just close my eyes and be dreaming about you. Every day when the sun is shining on us, every second just feels like a dream come true. We all got the same 24 hours, and I choose to spend my time just loving you. We all really on you. I used to overlook you, but now I truly see. Keep my eyes towards the Father, cause every second he's looking out for me. We all got the same 24 hours, yeah.
And I spend every minute loving you.
Even at night when I sleep for hours, yeah.
I just close my eyes and be dreaming about you.
Every day when the sun is shining on us,
every second just feels like a dream come true.
We all got the same 24 hours a day,
and I choose to spend my time just in love and you.
Talk Radio. Bye. Just a joke, just a joke. Shalom, everybody. Good evening, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Tara Al of Bethel Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Just like always, I'll ask you to get all your study tools, your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, your Bible, Concordant, all those things that you need for a good study. If you can hear me clearly, just send me a thumbs up, shout me out, let me know that you can hear me. And we'll start off like always and thank the Father for allowing us to come to this moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to get through this week as we approach the Sabbath day. We thank thee for thy Son, for his loving kindness that he's shown us through laying his life down and giving us the tool in order to make it into thy kingdom. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us for the sins that we've committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. We thank you, Father, for also giving us another opportunity. Like the song said, 24 hours. He's given us another 24 hours to get it right. Father, we thank thee for your endurance with us. Father, we thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Father, for the love that you show to us and the care that you show to us as a congregation, as individuals, and as humanity. In our Lord's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us a holy Sabbath as a heritage of remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat shalom again, family, friends, and listening audience. I'm your host, Yahweh Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation. And today we're going to, you know, we're going to talk about some things that, you know, the Father put on my heart and put on my mind as I was doing a little chore around my house. And the question that came to my mind is, are you dressing your garden? And, you know, the Father put this on my mind as I was outside, you know, cutting my grass today. And I was making sure that, as I say, had that curbside appeal, that when someone driving up and down my block, you know, they see that the home in which my wife comes to is well tended to, you know. And so that's where the idea is garden. Our mind is the garden. Our mind needs to be tended to. Because that's who we serve Yah with. We serve Yah with our mind. And if we are in right standing in our mind with him, then our actions and deeds will demonstrate the same. So we're going to start off with in Genesis 2:5. Originally, this is not my original starting point, but I'm going to start here. And the scripture is Genesis 2:5, and it says, no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field. For Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain on the earth. There was not a man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Yahweh Elohim formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We're going to stop at the word till, and that is in the Hebrew lexicon, 5:56-47. And this term is abad. And it means to work. Definition is, to work, serve, keep. It says keep in bondage, be a bondman, bond, serve, service, compel, do, dress, hear. It comes from the primitive root to work in any sense by implication to serve. Still causation. Service, to do for youth service. So we're going to go to Genesis 2:15 because this is my original starting point. But as we go to 2:5, it talks about there was not a man to till the ground. So the father hadn't, had these things about. I'm going to say physically, but they were about. But and the reason they weren't about physically, because as he said, there was no man to till the ground or no man to serve the earth. So what did he do? He created a man to do such a thing. So now we're going to come down to Genesis, a little further down in the chapter, verse 15. And it says, Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. When you get a chance, look at that term Eden up. It's 5730. It's a very interesting meaning. And it says to dress, like we already read, and to dress 47. So that's another term for work. Dress it and to keep it. And the definition for, we're going to stop here for a minute because we're going to go to this term dress. As we already went to the Hebrew definition, so now we're going to go to, I looked the word dress up in the etymology dictionary. And this is the definition that it gives. It says, direct, guide, control, prepare for. And when it says prepare for, it's in the sense of cooking. Because when you are, cooking stuff, like you'll go to the market and it says the fish is dressed. What it means is that the fish has been scaled and all its innards have been taken out of it. So it is prepared to actually be cooked. It says another definition from this etymology is to lift, to prepare, to arrange, to set, to serve as in food. So when we look at this word dress, and then we're talking about the Garden of Eden, the Father wanted humanity, or he wanted man to make sure that it was straight, make sure that it was clean, make sure that it was always presentable for him. Because during this particular time, it was just Adam, and he created Adam so that he could work the field. So from here, we're going to go to the word serve, because that is one of the definitions for the word to dress. And went to the etymology dictionary again, and it says to render habitual obedience to, owe allegiance to. Also, minister, give aid, give help, to do duty toward, show devotion to, be a servant, be in service. Be devoted, be governed by, comply with, conform, flatter. These are different meanings for the term serve. So when Adam was in this garden, he was supposed to be serving the Most High and being governed by the Most High by doing his service to the Most High. So from here, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. And we've heard this scripture before. And it says, this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear, reverence Yahweh, and keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man. See, in many translations, you're going to have the term duty, right? But the term duty You know, when you look at the Hebrew, the word duty is not there. So it's letting you know that what is the duty of the whole of man? What makes man complete? Having respect for the Most High and keeping his commandments, being obedient to him. See, because one of the things we've come to understand, and because when we look at the history of the beginning of humanity, Adam, the first man, failed to be obedient, showed no reverence for the Mighty One, did not keep his commands. As a result, he had to work. So we're going to go to the term whole in this particular scripture. It's 3605 in the Hebrew lexicon, and it means the whole or all. Definition, the whole, all, in all matters, together, any matter, everyone, place or thing. And it comes from kol, which is the word for 3605, kol. And it comes from kala, probably the whole or hence all of every. In a singular only, but often in a plural sense. So now we're going to go to that word in which it comes from, which is 3634. And it means to complete, perfect. And it gives a definition. I mean, not a definition, but it has a spiritual reference. I mean, not a spiritual reference, but yeah, it's spiritual. But it has a reference in the scriptures. And this is Jeremiah 33, verse 8, talking about this completion or this perfection. And it says, Jeremiah 33:8, I will cleanse them from all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. So this is Yahweh telling us that this is how he is going to cleanse us, with his perfection. And his perfection is his word and our reverence for him. Because as there is another scripture that talks about how does a young man cleanse his ways? By staying in the Torah. That's how we cleanse our way, by being obedient to the Torah. Because what we are doing is changing our narrative from that of Adam. Because Adam was disobedient. And because of his disobedience, he was separated from the Father and had to put in work. But in the effort at the same time putting in work, he had to also work his mind and get his mind right with the Most High. Yes, we have that understanding the physical and the spiritual when it comes to serving the Most High, when it comes to serving Yah. We have to be in tune with both of them. So from here, we're going to go to Luke chapter 22. Because what we're doing now, we're dealing with the first part of this scripture. And then it's talking about the servitude or the service that we must show through dressing the garden. And what we're doing is dressing our garden. We're dressing our mind and keeping our mind from being polluted. Or it's already polluted, but what we're trying to do is reduce the amount of pollution that we have within our mind. And the way that we do that is through studying his Torah, through listening to what's being told to us, by being obedient. Because we go throughout the scriptures, he say, listen to my voice. And as we have learned over the years, his voice comes to those in whom he has chosen to speak his word. As we have learned over the years, the term prophet Navi, one who housed the seed. What seed? The seed is Yahushua. That promised seed. There's another scripture that says, it says, believe in Yahweh and you shall be established. Believe in his prophet. What is prophet? One who housed the seed. What seed? The seed of Yahushua. And you shall prosper. What are you going to prosper in? You're going to be prospering in the Torah. You're going to be prospering in Yah's word. Why? Because it is Yah's word that came down and saved us. It is Yah's word that created us. It is Yah's word that is here to help us get back in line with the Father. From here, we're going to go, like I said, to Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30, and it reads, there arose also contention among them, which of them was considered the greatest. He said to them, the king of the nations, Lord, is over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But one who is the greater among you, let him become as the younger. And one who is governing as one who serves. Who is greater? One who sits at the table or one who serves? Is not it? He who sits at the table, but I am in the midst of you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trial. I confer on you a kingdom, even as the Father conferred on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is Yahushua talking to his servant, his Talmudim, his taught one, and letting them know that he came here to serve. And that's what we must do, serve. Because there will come a time when we won't have to be servants. But yet, when we look at judging, that's also a form of service also. But our service based on this is going to change to another type of service. So from here, we're going to go to John chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. And the Father took me here because understanding where we came from and where we're trying to get to. Because the scriptures tell it, Yahushua said, the kingdom of Yah is at hand. And where is he speaking from? He is speaking from the perception in which he is, in which his existence is. And it reads, excuse me for a minute, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born anew. And when this came to my mind, as the scriptures say, we die daily. And why are we dying daily? We're dying in the flesh daily. Dying daily in the flesh. And when we rise up, we're rising up anew to walk in the newness of life, because the day has allowed us to experience life. And then he allowed us to, when we went to sleep, the accuser comes before him and accuses us. But we have an advocate, I'm sure, who pleads our case when we rise up at 10 in the morning, giving us another opportunity to get it right, giving us an opportunity to perfect our life. through walking in the Torah and walking in the truth? Are we tending our gardens? Are we paying attention? Are we serving the Most High as we serve ourselves to get right with Him? Because we know that it is through His strength that He allows us to do the things that we do. From here, we're going to go to John 17:6. And it reads, and this is Yahushua talking. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, when we cleave to Yahushua, when we cleave to that word, when we have that testimony of Yahushua, because we believe in the testimony that he showed us, and we also believe in the Torah or the commandment, which is another testimony of the word that we believe in. And if we cleanse our mind and get to that elevation of being with Yahushua, then we too can understand that the kingdom of Yah is at hand. From here, we're going to go to Romans 6:4-6. And we've read this before. This is actually talking about the baptism. And baptism to death. That just like Yahushua was risen from the dead through the glory of Yah, so we also might walk in a newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we will also be part of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be in bondage to sin. See, one of the things that we have to understand that when Adam failed to comply what was told to him, he put himself in bondage to sin. But Yahushua has given us an out. He has given us a way that we can be from under those shackles of bondage of sin. But we have to stay in that word. Stay in his truth. Believe the let was putting down, as one would say. Believe what the prophet is teaching. Believe that he has been chosen to serve Yah. To listen and hear the things of Yahushua. Because that's what Yahushua said. He said, I'm going to send back the Comforter. I'm going to send back my spirit to you. And my spirit will rest upon you and give you what you need. As it's written in the first testimony of the word. Eya, Asha, Eya. I will be what I will be through you, Israel, to you, listening audience. He's going to be what you need him to be so that you can come to the perfection of his word, through his word, with his word. From here, we're going to go to the second part of that scripture. Going back to the scripture, Genesis 2:15. And I'm going to start it from the beginning. Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it. So now, the second part is, and to keep it. And the word keep is 881-04 in your Hebrew lexicon. Hebrew concordance. And that word is Shema, to keep, watch, preserve. Be circumspect. Keeper. observe. These are the different words that I pulled out of this particular definition for the word Jamah, and to watch, to preserve. And so these different words, preserve, I went to the etymology again. So all the definitions that I'm reading, I apologize for not saying at the beginning, are coming from this etymology dictionary that was online. And so the word preserve means to keep or free from harm. Also, act so as to ensure that something does not occur. So these are the definitions for preserve from the etymology, to keep, to free from harm. What are we freeing from harm? We're freeing that garden. We're freeing our mind from harm. We're doing things to prevent these things from happening. And what assists us in doing that? The Torah, because it gives us the examples of other people and their shortcomings or their experiences with the Most High. And we're supposed to learn from them. Like there's a scripture that says, everything that was written before time was written for our learning. So as we read these scriptures and as we go through our experiences, we can go back to the word to see how other people overcame the obstacles that we may be currently in. And sometimes it is difficult to go to the scriptures when you're in the midst of a situation. But sometimes in the midst of a situation, you have to also call out to Abba. Abba, Abba, what am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to learn? What type of benefit am I getting? Because we don't realize the benefits that we get from a situation until after we've gotten through it. But the word assists us in preventing certain things from happening. And so this is one of those things to keep it. So we keep in this garden. Like, I have a physical garden. And I go out there and I pull up the weed. I'm working that garden. I'm serving that garden. Why? Because I want the garden to grow. So I go out there and I pick up the weed, clean the weeds out and water it, you know, so that it can grow. I put different things down so that, you know, like I got mint in my garden, and it's mint is supposed to keep the vermin away. Those things that might come in my garden and eat my produce. You put certain things in the soil to prevent bugs from eating at the roots of your produce. So these are the things that I do, produce. So these are the things that when we look at the word, we do certain things to protect the word. See, we live in a society where people look at the word and they go into the word and they give their own interpretation of the word. We have to protect that. But when we come across that, bring a person to the understanding of what thus saith Yahweh through his word, showing them, no, you're not doing well with the garden. You're not doing well with that word. You're not tending to that particular produce properly. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do with one another and for ourselves. Scriptures say, do not forsake the brotherhood. There's another scripture that say, am I my brother's keeper? That's that word again, keeper. That means you're supposed to protect your brother. So now we're going to go to the word circumspect. And the word circumspect means caution, wary, literally. Look about in all sides. deliver it, guard it. Well considered. So also, what are we doing when we tend in this garden? We're making sure that on all sides that it's protected. We're making sure on all sides that it's being preserved, that it's being taken care of. You know, because sometimes, you know, you take care of the front of them, you know, your garden or your flowers. Why? Because that's the area that can be seen. But the areas on the side, you know, sometimes we as individuals, we don't take care of that, you know, or as well as we take care of the front. Or as we take care of the back. Because people sometimes see certain things. But the things people really don't see all the time, sometimes we don't take care of those things. But when we circumspect with making sure that every area is taken care of. Because what's happening is the Father has us, he's constantly watching over us as an individual and making sure that we're protected on all sides. As he does that, we're supposed to do that also. We can't protect one area of our life or one area of our thinking and not another. Because that area in which we don't take care of may ultimately spill over into the area you are taking care of. And then you're wondering, whoa, where did this come from? And that's because you wasn't making sure that all areas were being kept. Or all areas were being safe. So we got to be mindful of circumspecting and making sure that we are looking at all sides of us as individuals, all sides of our thinking. And if you have a garden, all sides of your garden. You know, sometimes we as individuals, we can also be referred to as a house. We've talked about that before. Maintaining the house. So you have to take care. If you live in a three-story house, you have to take care of each floor the same. You can't take care of one floor better than the other. All areas must be taken care of and maintained. It has a scripture that talks about, you know, when a man, you know, gets rid of certain thoughts and whatnot, how the average, you know, they'll get rid of those demons, cleans it up, spotless, and making sure, oh, yeah, this is prim and proper. This is great. This is looking good. I haven't had this problem in a minute. But then it says, hey, if you don't put that word in you, you don't allow that spirit to fill up that gap, what happens? It talks about how that demon or that evil spirit will come back. With something, with friends greater than him, stronger than him. What's that? What it says, you bind the strong man. What is the strong man? Strong man is the man that's standing firm in that word of God. So the next word we're going to do is observe. And it means to hold to, carry out, it dictates us. Attend to and practice, to keep, follow, watch over, heed, regard, comply with, keep safe. What are we keeping safe? We're keeping safe our thinking so that we can constantly keep our thinking on Yah. Because as we know, in order to become perfect, we have to keep our focus on Yah. What did Yahushua say? I do not what I want. I do what my Father tells me to do. And if Yahushua be in us, then we must do the same exact thing. We do what thus saith Yah. And Yah has passed these things down to different individuals throughout the scriptures through Yahushua, because Yahushua was a servant. on several occasions. He was a servant to humanity. Now, we also have to be a servant to humanity as a servant of his. So one of the things that we've said in the congregation for years, we use this time, God dictates. And it's so, you know, it's so wonderful that the Father, you know, he is leading God and one of the other mores to talk about the different aspects of the human body. But he's actually talking about various states of the human body, the areas in which we as individuals gain information and learn about his truth. So like I said, we use the term God's gates. So one of the gates is the gate of the tongue gate. So we have to guard what we say. The next one, another gate is the ear gate. We have to guard and protect what we hear. Then we have the eye gate. And we have to protect what we see. Then we have the feet gate. We got to protect where we go. See, because when we're speaking with people, we have to make sure that we're on point as far as what God said. What's being taught in regards to his word. And being able to defend and teach according to his word. Not the dictates of men. One of the things that Yahushua told us to do, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And when we look into the leaven, we talk about the teachings, the doctrine of what men are saying. We have to guard ourselves. We have to make sure that the things that we're speaking is according to Yahweh's word. We have to be mindful of what we're listening to and making sure that what we're listening to lines up with Yahweh's word. As the scripture to say, if they don't speak according to this word, then there's no light in them. So you have to line up with the word. You have to line up with the scripture. Then we have to be mindful of what we're looking at. See, because we as humans, we learn from various ways. Some people learn by what they see. Some people learn by what they hear. So we have to be mindful of what we're watching and what we're listening to. Because if we're watching stuff we shouldn't be watching, it will begin to plague our thinking. It will mar our perception. And now, also, if we pay attention to everything that we talked about as far as the different gates, what we're speaking, what we're hearing, what we're seeing, will ultimately lead to where we're going. Because if we're listening to bad commentary, we might start walking down the wrong path. If we start watching the wrong things, we might start walking the wrong way. But we have to be mindful because when we start dealing with the feet and where we're going, that is dealing with the practices, what we have conjured or what we have come to understand within our mind based on the things we've heard, based on the things that we've seen, based on our own ideology. Because when we have our ideology, when we speak them, and now we heard them. And sometimes we lead and guide our own selves down the wrong path. because our opinion begins to override that of the scripture. Our opinion is starting to be marred as we listen to other things and as we see other things. So family, as we keep this word and keep this God, let's be mindful of the various gates that we have and protect them on all sides. From here, we're going to go to Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. You've heard this before. I'm going to read it again. And it reads, "Finally, be strong in Yahushua and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." See, the adversary, the accuser, wants us to fight, as they say, infighting amongst each other. See, because once we realize who the real culprit is, and we side with one another to fight against the culprit, the real enemy, he's going to be weakened, because that we already know that he didn't already lost. So we put on the full Yahushua and understand that Yahushua has already defeated him. We realize that the real enemy has no power over us. From here, we're going to go to Psalms 147, verse 13. And it's just going back to the gates. "For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you." See, because when we have certain things, we protect them. And we protect them with gates. And so these gates that we have, we open them up. We unlock them. So when we do certain things and listen to certain things, what are we doing? We're opening up that gate that we have to protect our hearing, to hear what is being said. And thus far, the other gate, with his spirit. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. And it reads, "My son, attend to my word. Turn your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your mind, for they are life to those who find them, and health to their whole body. Keep your mind with all diligence, for out of it is the wellsprings of life. Put away from yourself perverse mouth. Put corrupt lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make the path of your feet level. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your feet from evil." It just got finished talking about those gates that we're supposed to be protecting with his Torah, with our being. Because he told us to tend his garden. He wants us to protect ourselves. because at one time we didn't. And we're supposed to learn from that example and protect ourselves by listening to his voice, by being obedient and showing reverence to him. Psalms 141, verse 3 and 4 says, set a watch, Yahweh, before my mouth. Stop here for a minute. What are we doing? We asking for protection from Yahweh before my mouth, before the things that I say. And they say, what's in a man's mind comes out his mouth. Put a watch on my thinking, Father. Things that I speak from my mouth are the things of your truth and of your will. Let me finish the scripture. I'll start again. Set a watch, Yahweh, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Do not decline my thinking to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who work iniquity. Do not let me eat of that delicacy. Sometimes, you know, when we're thinking about delicacies is that fine food, or those the things that are rare. And they're only rare to people who don't have anything. I'm going to say, you know, when you're looking at delicacies, and I'm looking at it from the perspective of food, you know, these things are rare to people who can't afford them. But for people who can afford them, like the caviar and the truffles, things of that nature. See, that's something that the average person is not eating. But then, let's look at it from another perspective. Eat your teachings that people think that they have that's leading people astray. And then when people come across it, they think they have learned something. They think they have something. But what we're learning that the deep things are in the simple things. And because they're so simple, people don't think of them as being delicacy. Because it's right there. We need to partake of it. And people don't want some things that are right there, so simple. There's nothing deep about that. But it is. Like, give an example, you know, it was like a moment. You know. And when the brother brought it out, it was like, man. We've read that for years. And it's so simple. The scriptures, I'm paraphrasing, but it says how the sun gives light to the earth. Right there. Simple. You got scientists trying to say it's light here, light there, there. No. Sun was here to give light. Earth. There's no light nowhere else. Only light here on earth. Why? The Father said. That's so simple. That just scientists with the PhDs and the all these letters behind it, man, can't understand that. Next scripture we're going to go to is Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. And it reads, the lamp of the body is the eyes. And therefore your eyes are sound, your whole body will be filled with light. What is sound? sound doctrine. If your eyes have come to read and perceive the sound doctrine of Yahushua, the sound doctrine that Yah has shown humanity throughout humanity's life, then your whole body will be filled with that light. Why? Because Yahushua say, I am the light. So if you're in tune with Yahushua and understand what he has done, and he is partaking, and he's living through you, then you are filled with light. But if your eyes is evil, your whole body will be filled full of darkness. For the light that is in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And it reads, and this is, familiar with the scriptures. Well, this is dealing with the temptation of Yahushua. And the accuser asked him something. And this is what he answered. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. See, going back to the perfection, fear, reverence Yahweh, and protect and obey his commandments. For that is the whole of man. Because now, what are you doing? You're being like spirit, because that the spirit was leading and guiding you. You're not depending on the things of the physical to sustain you. Because just like, well, let me go ahead and read this scripture. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And this is where Yahushua is referring to. He said, it reads, he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. Because man lives. See, we don't live because of something that we are doing. We live because Yah has allowed us to live. Just like, you know, a couple lessons ago, we was talking about that potter. See, the father is that potter. And that father is the one who molds every single one of us. And he can change you how he chooses to change. Because you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to fit you in. And he wants us to be a willing participant. And how does he allow us to learn or be a willing participant? Our experience. The good, the bad, the end. That's how he learns. Respect how. Through being obedient to his word. Through learning from those who've been through situations. Are you dressing your garden? Are you cultivating your mind? Are you preparing yourself, making it to his kingdom? Are you shielding yourself away from the world with his word, with his truth? Are you allowing the light of Yahushua to dwell with you and to shine brightly? See, as it says, the light encompasses the darkness. So as the light grows brighter and brighter in you, those that are in darkness will flee, will flee, will flee. Because you will encompass them. They will realize that I have no demons. What does scripture say? Light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. So family, hopefully you can glean something from me cutting my grass today. Because I did something different to my yard. I added lights. Added lights to my walkway leading up to my door. So, like I said, hopefully you can glean something from my experience today and cut my grass and understand that I have to tend my garden more than just cut my grass and making sure that I got curbside appeal. But I also have to be a good vessel, a good servant for God. I have to be obedient to his word. I have to be a witness of his son, of Yahushua. Not of his son, of Yahushua. For I know who his son is, and I know who he is. And that's something that we have to also do more often if we don't do it, is acknowledge who Yahushua is and acknowledge who our Father is. For many people sit out here and say they believe in God, they believe in God, they believe in God. But just like we always say, what law? What God? What God do you serve? I've said that to people. And people look at me like I got two heads. But we have to also say that to people. What God do you serve? Because you have many men that's out here saying they serve God, and saying they serve God, and they're not doing nothing that the word is teaching. But they serve God, and they have a lot of people following behind them, serving that same God. But we know who we serve. There's a scripture that says that too. We know not who we serve, but we know who we serve. And because we know who we serve, the responsibility is much greater on us. Much greater. Because we have no excuse. None whatsoever. And as we learn and read the scriptures more and more and more and more and more and more, we have no excuse. So, family, this concludes the lesson for the evening. Like I said, I hope you got something from it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter into yet another Sabbath day, another day in which you say you will come and sup with us. Another day in which you will open our minds to the wonders of your word, open our eyes to the perception of your truth, giving us an opportunity to hear the wonders of your word. Father, we ask of thee to calm our minds so that we can receive the truth of your word. Father, we ask of thee to continue to help us to cleave to your truth, cleave to thy Son, cleave to thy word. Father, we ask of thee to continue to assist us in fulfilling our part of the contract. Father, we ask of thee to continue to help our unbelief. Strengthen us in your ways. Strengthen us in your truth. Father, we ask of thee to continue to give us the long-suffering, just as you have long-suffering with us. May we have long-suffering and understand what you go through. May we understand and change so that we don't put added stress on you, O Father. For as we want stress relief, you want it also. So help us not to put unwanted stress on you. Father, we ask for thee to continue to strengthen us in your ways, strengthen us in your truth. Father, we ask for thee to continue to bring us together in your spirit and in your truth. Father, we ask for thee to continue to help us to be friends to one another, just as Yahushua referred to us as his friend. May we refer to our associates and family, be friends. Because in your scriptures it says that is a really close, intimate relationship. Call someone your friend. Not as intimate as a father and, I mean, not a father. Father and a son. Because you are the ultimate father in the relationship that you had or you have with your son. But how you put it in our terms, the relationship between man and his woman, and his wife, or a husband and his wife. Father, we ask of thee to strengthen our bond with you through thy word, through thy truth. We ask of thee, O Father, to help us with our shortcomings. We ask of thee to strengthen our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind so that we can always circumspect and protect of thinking. But we want to be one, be Christ. Father, we ask of thee to continue to give us what we need to bring us closer to you. Father, we thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of this week and bringing us to thy holy Sabbath day. May you continue to open our minds to receive the wonders of your word. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Shalom. Shalom.
this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby his hand? Didn't you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Nine, 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 nine